Good morning. Welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church. Please let us prepare our hearts for worship by singing our hymn of preparation, which you will find on the inside top of your bulletin. There are a couple of announcements in the bulletin I'd like for you to please turn to and mark so that you don't miss them and you go home and make certain they get on your calendar. The first one you will notice on page 5 in your bulletin is the Holy Week and Easter services. I want to call that attention to you because we're going to have a wonderful opportunity to hear about the services that we're going to be experiencing during Holy Week, beginning with Palm Sunday. And I do hope you will notice the ad that will go in the index journal. Cut it out and put it on your refrigerator as an additional reminder of those services. But Larry is going to be explaining what we'll be doing and why we'll be doing it, so that these services will have a lot more meaning for you when you participate in them. So please mark your calendar. The food is excellent, but the program is going to be even better. And if you can't come to eat, then do come for the program. But if you do want to come to eat and get that good food, you need to call the church office to make certain that you have a reservation in your name. I also want to call to your attention the men's club. The dinner, again, will be good. Corned beef, cabbage. They're going to be celebrating St. Paddy's Day a little bit later. But the topic of conversation is something that I think that everybody will really benefit from listening to. In fact, I'm going to try to see if I can't twist Charlie's arm to see if I can't come hear it. Because the minister is a retired Presbyterian minister who will be speaking about heaven. And since that's supposed to be all of our goals, it might not be a bad idea to have someone's informed opinion about what we might expect. So I want to call your attention to that. And then once again, the Lenten services will be this week. We'll be going to First Baptist Church. And I'm going to get it right this Sunday. One service, two lunches. The lunch at first starts at 12, service at 12:35, and then at 1 o'clock, the second lunch. I gave you two services and one lunch last week, and it's going to be two lunches, one service, okay? The Connections edition was put into the Sunday school classes, and I hope that you checked it, the weekly reminders, because meeting times are there for the worship committee, the nominations committee, and the UMW Executive Board meeting. I also want to call to your attention the church-wide Easter egg hunt. Parents, grandparents, be noting that on your calendar because that's going to be at the parents' house on Fairway Lakes Road on March the 31st at 2 p.m. And I know all the kids and the Young at Heart kids would like to participate in that activity. Notice some time activities, a change for the Vacation Bible School, and also for the Creative Worship Camp. Mark those on your calendar so that your children can benefit from those experiences. And Easter lilies, only 50 will be ordered this year. So make sure that if you want one, you get your order in on time. Now, we will have the chiming of the Trinity and then continue our worship as the acolytes enter with the light of Christ.
Thank you. Will all who are able please stand for the call to worship? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Do not avoid the light of God, but expose yourself to it.
When we keep silent about our sin, we are burdened and weak. But if we acknowledge our sin before God, God will forgive and heal us. Let all who are faithful offer prayer in times of distress. Let us confess our transgressions to the Lord. Please join in the song of approach, followed by the unison prayer of confession and a time of silent prayer.
Join together in our prayer of confession. God, our Redeemer, you welcome us with the unbounded love of a parent for a lost child. Help us when we turn away from your safekeeping. Watch over us when we choose the far country of doubt and fear. Guide us back with the thoughts of the place you have prepared for us. Forgive us when we fail to send Jesus, sent from you. Turn our eyes toward the cross, where he was lifted up for us. In his name we pray. Amen. Let's have a moment of silent prayer. Happy are those who are forgiven, who stand among the righteous, surrounded by the steadfast love of the Lord. By the power of Jesus' death and resurrection, we are forgiven and healed. Amen. You may be seated.
The Old Testament reading for today comes from the 21st chapter of the book of Numbers, verses 4 through 9. Listen for this reading of God's Word. From Mount Or, they set out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, but the people became impatient on the way. The people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we detest this miserable food. Then the Lord sent poisonous serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord to take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, "Make a poisonous serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten shall look at it and live." So Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it upon a pole, and whenever a serpent bit someone, that person would look at the serpent of bronze and live. The gospel for today is from the third chapter of the gospel according to John, verses 14 through 21. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated.
Let's pause for a moment of prayer. Holy God, as we have felt again your holy presence, drawing us to an altar of repentance, to confess those sins which we so grievously commit, those words which we say that hurt and hinder young ones. We come to you, dear God, with humble repentance in our hearts and our minds, thanking you indeed that you do forgive us. And during this journey of Lent, as we embrace again our call to sacrificial living, to give of ourselves and of our time to the kingdom of God. And to hear again those refreshing words of love and forgiveness. We come to you this day in embracing that we are children of God, that we have a destination that is far above what we can even believe or see. Yet we have an assurance that you will continue to watch over and take care of us long after this life is lived. So, dear God, help us to live our life here now with the anticipation of that which is not yet but will be. We pray for those of our church family who are sick and ill this day, that your healing power would touch them, and those who are away from home, serving in mission fields or in lands of where our civil government has sent them. Be with those, dear God, as they fulfill their missions. And we pray for the peace of the world and the peace of Jerusalem, where little children will know the security and safety of love. Again, be with those in leadership over our church and our nation. And we pray as you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us worship the Lord now with our morning tithes and offerings. Sisters, would you come?
Please be seated. We invite the children forward for the children's message.
Good morning, everybody. Hey, Livy and Gracie and Mary Hughes. Exciting to see you. I want y'all to think about a time when you have gotten a really, really pretty package. You didn't even know what was inside the package, but it was just wrapped up so pretty. Can y'all think of that maybe for a birthday or Christmas? Yesterday was Mr. Brab's birthday, and he got lots of packages that were wrapped so pretty, and he was so excited to open them up. And that's right, Sam's wasn't wrapped. But Sam and Hannah spent lots of time trying to decide exactly what they wanted to give their dad. And so today, I want us to talk about some of the gifts that God has given us. And one of those gifts is the Bible. So think about, what are the different ways that you can read the Bible, or different kinds of Bibles you've ever seen? Have you seen some that are big, like the Bible that Reverend Martin reads from at the pulpit? It's a really big Bible, and it has large print. And then here's a pew Bible. Y'all seen these? These probably look kind of like the size of the ones you have at home. And I was going to show you the Bible on Mr. Brab's iPod, but Hannah has put it on some sort of game, and I can't seem to get it off. But anyway, he has the Bible downloaded on his iPhone, so he can even read it on his phone. You could read it on the computer. Oh, thank you, Sam. Okay, so here is the Bible on Mr. Brab's iPhone. I don't know how to do all that stuff. I just make phone calls on my phone. But anyway, so there's lots of different ways that we can read the Bible every day. And I want to give you some facts about the Bible, okay? We know there's lots of different ways we can read it, but it's also been translated into a whole bunch, into a whole bunch of languages. Does anybody know how many languages the Bible's been translated into, Sam? No, not 7,000. A little more than 24. Tuck? More than 25. 450. 450 languages the Bible's been translated into. And in the King James Version of the Bible, there's 66 books of the Bible and 1,189 chapters. Guess how many words in all of those books and chapters? More than 200. Madeline? 783,137. It's a lot of words, isn't it? But you know what? In all the different types of Bibles that you can read, on your iPhone or on your iPod or on your computer, or the big pulpit Bible that Reverend Martin reads from, or the pew Bible, or the one you have at home, or one that's made for kids, did you know that it all comes down to really one verse? Yes, Tuck? I'm so glad you do. Okay, and we all have different kinds of Bibles, and this is the verse that all the Bibles, when it comes down to this one verse, and it's only 25 of those over 700,000 words, and this is it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Which means what? What does that mean, Rylan? You'll live forever in heaven. And that's right. It means that when our bodies pass away, because eventually everyone is going to die, but we don't just, our life doesn't just stop. We go to live in heaven with Jesus if we believe in Jesus. And that is the greatest gift of all, and that's the gift of grace, that God forgives us of our sins. When we ask him to forgive us, then he does. He forgives us for what we've done wrong, because he loves us so much that he sent his son to die on the cross so that we could live in heaven with him forever. So think about if you're feeling kind of bad because maybe you know you've made some choices that weren't the best choices. Sometimes Miss Margaret makes choices that aren't the best. We all make choices that aren't the best sometimes, but think about at school, if you've ever maybe had a rocky day and your teacher said, but you know what, tomorrow's a new day, we're going to start over, the slate is clean, and you come to school the next day and it's like nothing ever happened the day before. And that's how it is with Jesus too, because when he forgives us of a sin, then it's gone and he doesn't even remember it. And that's grace. And so we want to remember that that is the greatest gift of all. It might not be wrapped in a really pretty package, like some presents under the tree or for our birthday, but it really is the greatest gift of all. Okay, Tucker. That's right. We want to believe in Jesus so we can go to heaven, because we don't want to go to the devil, do we, Tucker? Okay. All right. So for our closing prayer today, I want us to say together that verse, that one verse together that's so important. Okay. So I want y'all to repeat after me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Amen.
Thank you.
You may be seated. Several years ago, on a Monday, Reverend Dick Covington, former minister in the United Methodist Church here in South Carolina, invited me on a trip of a lifetime to go with him to the Masters. They had a rain-out date, and he had tickets for Monday, and we went. It was the year that handsome Spaniard Steve Ballesteros won the Masters, as they say, going away. While we were walking around the Masters course, I saw Dick talking with this young man, and I went over there, and it was a young man that I had seen on TV before. He wore a wig, had different colored hair, and he'd shake it back and forth. He would hold up a sign saying, John 3:16. And Howard Cosell would say, "Who is that guy?" I talked with the young man and rightly assumed that he was a Christian, that he was endeavoring to share the good news of the gospel by holding up the sign John 3:16. And I invited him at some time to come to my church after asking him, "How do you get all these tickets to these Monday night football games and the Masters? I mean, these things are quite expensive." And he began to tell me the story of how that Christian athletes would give him tickets and how that he would travel from place to place with the resources that people gave him. When I asked him to come to my church, he said, "Oh, I won't come to churches," he said, "because God has called me to be out here in the trenches." I thought to myself, sometimes as a minister, I feel like I'm in the trenches. But as we shared, I never saw this gentleman in person again. I did see him on TV from time to time. And only one day to read in the sports section where he was found dead in his automobile. As I thought about this life that had been lived in front of the camera at some times and off the beaten paths at others, I wondered how many people had come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ because of the unusual antics of this young man. And today we might can ask ourselves the same question when we think of Tim Tebow with his eyeshadow and John 3:16 written on one side and another passage sometimes written on the other. It's a passage of Scripture that has been mentioned in our children's sermon this morning, and most of us know by heart. Max Lucado has called this passage of Scripture the alphabet of grace, a table of contents to the Christian hope. Each word a safe deposit box of jewels. Throughout our country, there are individuals who are also using this type of method of communicating God's love. There's a low-cost fashion clothing store for young ladies called Forever 21, and at the bottom of the yellow bag is printed, you guessed it, John 3:16. Nothing else. It makes you wonder how many young ladies go home and pull out their Bible and look up John 3:16. I remember a young man who saw the sign on a billboard one time. It says, Jesus saves. She says, wow. I said, I wonder which bank he uses. So the question is, how are these messages that we proclaim and show, how are they being utilized and who are they touching? There's a California hamburger chain that Leonard Sweet tells about called In-N-Out Print. It puts John 3:16 on his drinking cups. Its burger bag has Nahum 1:7, and its fry bags contain the reference to Revelations 3:20. Nahum 1:7 says, the Lord is good, a stronghold in a day of trouble. He protects those who take refuge in Him. And Revelations 3:20 says, listen, I'm standing at the door knocking, and if you hear my voice and open the door, I will come into you and eat with you and you with me. I know Jesus had a lot of meals with His disciples. I don't know how many of them were French fries. But when we stop and think about these ways of communicating and with the hope, then indeed they will reach someone. Obviously, there is nothing that is offensive about them. But we can ask the question, do they work? I'll never forget several years ago on an early weekday morning, Reverend Vernon Smith, one of my professors at Elam Bible Institute, came to chapel, and he was very emotionally moved by a dream that he had had the night before. And as he stood in chapel and began to tell the tale about being out in third world countries with a group of young people who were carrying backpacks and taking the gospel into out-of-the-way places that the gospel of Christ would have never gone. And I remember as some of the professors began to gather around and began to pray with him. And I wondered after I graduated from Elam, whatever became of this vision, this dream, this hope of his. And then one day I was in a bookstore, and there I saw a little paperback called God's Gorillas. And lo and behold, it was the same type of mission that Reverend Vernon Smith had dreamed. I wondered if it was his that had come to fruition. I was also told about a young man who walks across our country. I don't know if he still does this or not. I do remember hearing the story about that he came to Orville United Methodist Church before I arrived there. This young man carries a cross, and wherever he happens to stop, he puts up the cross and begins to preach and then pulls it down on his shoulder and away he goes again. And the last that I saw of him, the one thing I do remember, that on the bottom of the cross he did have a roller that put at the bottom that made it a little easier to drag his cross across the countryside. Do these work? What does all of this mean? Do these guerrilla type efforts produce? Does it cause individuals to be open to the voice of the Spirit of God? I was reminded of myself one day talking to a young man on the streets of New York City. And he began to tell me about all the reasons that he could not become a believer in Christ. And I shared with him, I said, well, you know, I think your problem is that you're spiritually blind, and that God has not enabled you to see the reality of the love of God in this world. And I would pray that God would heal your spiritual blindness. I don't know what happened to the young man, but sometimes I do ask myself, Lord, am I spiritual blind to what you are doing in our world? For I know that the Scripture says that we need to be doers of the Word and not just hearers only. And Tim Tebow certainly is not the only one that proclaims John 3:16. There are others, and I've already mentioned Forever 21, Chick-fil-A, In-N-Out Hamburger Joint. A Cherokee elder was talking to his grandchildren about life. And he said to them, a fight is going on inside of me. It's a terrible fight. It's a fight between two wolves. One wolf represents fear and anger and envy and sorrow and regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, and superiority. The other wolf stands for joy, peace, love, hope, sharing, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, friendship, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. And he looked at the young Indian sitting around him. He said, the same fight is going on inside of you and inside of every other person too. They thought about this for a minute and then said, the one with no name said, Grandfather, which wolf will win? And the old man simply replied, the one you feed is the one that will win. Our passage this morning from the Old Testament told about Moses and the children of Israel as they journeyed across the wilderness. They had been delivered through the Red Sea. God had provided them manna. You remember the rock that gave them water. And the Bible said, and they began to grumble and complain. And the snakes came out and began to bite them, and many died. As I think about this passage of Scripture and my journey of faith, about the wonderful experiences that I have had in my lifetime, and then about those times when I grumble and complain, the passage said here in John that the Son of Man must be lifted up just as the serpent in the wilderness was lifted up. And I submit to you this morning that the deadly venom that is being spread is not the venom of poisonous snakes within our midst, but it's the venom of our own words, our own complaining, our own negativism. It's our words that affects the very body of Christ. God calls us to look to Jesus for the healing. And he calls us to a sacrifice. We've already heard the passage this morning, but it always bears repeating. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. God gave his only Son. That everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Chick-fil-A founder made a decision in 1946 that all Chick-fil-A operators and employees would have an opportunity to rest, to spend time with their family and friends and worship if they so chose. And they made an economic sacrificial choice. And they have remained closed on Sundays now for 66 years. They consider it a part of our recipe for success. When I think about Lent, this time which calls us to sacrifice, to give a portion of ourselves for the cause of the gospel of Christ, I think again about the choice to take a few moments of your time and teach the children in Sunday school class on Sunday. To take maybe a little time out of your busy schedules to teach English as a second language. Maybe to mentor a few teenagers in need of loving. Some of you will be making journeys this summer to Sockahatchee. Others of you will be giving sacrificial gifts to support these missions. These are just starter ideas. It's more than just seeing the words John 3:16. It's more than just seeing them printed on a billboard somewhere. It's more than just having it at the bottom of some grocery bag. It's for us to take action, to reach out into this world of ours. Realize that Jesus was sent into the world not to condemn the world, but to redeem the world. In poker, they have the saying, it's called all in. And I ask you this morning, are you an all in Christian? Are you all in? Are you committed to the mission and the ministry of the church? Or have you become too content on the sideline? Have you let the words of your mouth become more venom than healing? Then God speaks to you this morning and calls you to a time of reflection, repentance, and to reach out to this world that God loves so much that he gave his Son. Amen. I invite you to join with me now as we stand together in the affirmation of faith as printed in your bulletin. Reading together, we believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate, the Holy Spirit, and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in the Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let's join together in singing, "I Want to Walk as a Child of the Light," number 206.
I want to walk as a child of the light. I want to follow Jesus. God sent the stars to give light to the world. The star of my life is Jesus. In him there is no darkness at all. The night and the day are both alike. The Lamb is the light of the city of God.
After the blessing, I invite you to share the peace and love of God with your neighbor as you are being dismissed. God came down to us like the sun at morning, wounded to the heart by our helplessness. Let us proceed in God's strength to love and serve one another. Go in peace, and may the peace of God go with you.